All right. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I hope you feel the same way. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. You probably know that we have a team in Nepal, and that's where Jonathan is, and then we have a team in Sweden. Sweden. I got the S right. But we have a team in Sweden. That's why you get me this morning. So stay with me. It should only last about a half hour, and we'll get through this together. No, I'm thankful for the opportunities God gives me to share His Word with you. And of course, as you're getting to know Jonathan, he loves these word pictures, and he loves these type of things. So that's what this is about this morning. So we'll try to tie it in a little bit. So as we go through this, we're going through a series called Leveraging Your Life, Leveraging Your Life. And if you happen to not get a book, you're welcome to pick a book up back there at the Connect Desk after the gathering. We'd love for you to take one. They're free, and we have lots of leftovers, and all we ask is that you use it. It's just a good little tool to go along with what we're talking about in the sermon series. You know, probably all of us here today have had a special relationship, you know, someone that you care deeply about, you know, someone who's probably the love of your life, maybe, or just family, friends, someone you're devoted to. And you know, it probably brings joy into your heart when you think of this relationship. And the thing that kind of allows them to flourish and grow is that there's a depth to that relationship. I know I got to meet my wife in 1980. And we were in Holmes County, Amish country, in a little town called Millersburg, Ohio. And she was this smoking hot lifeguard. And I said, that's the relationship for me. And she didn't see it that way at first, but you know, she was a lifeguard, I was a counselor, so every day I'd say, okay, kids, we're going to the pool. And that's what we did. We go to the pool, and if I start to drown, leave me alone. She'll come and get me. So I'm in 4 feet of water one day, and that's another part. But anyway, I just remember that was how the relationship started, and I'm so thankful that it's grown and it's nourished, and she's has stayed with me for 41 years in December. So I'm thankful for that. But you know, we love those relationships, and they nurture, and this idea of deep and devotion is important. You know, I know the introduction in your book talks about in this week that idea of someone you know that's been devoted. And you know, I think of a young brother I have who's in his 50s, and I think of the devotion I've seen in his life since he's been married. I know several years ago they had a little 10-day-old little girl who passed, and he dealt with that. And then a couple years later, he had a sister-in-law, his wife's sister, just in her 30s, developed a type of cancer, and she passed. And then probably about 16 years ago, his wife, at the age of just 37, developed a type of brain cancer. And she's still living, thankfully, but she's in her 50s now, and there's been a lot of changes with her because of the surgery they did. But why I mention this is not for you to feel sorry for him. He won't want you to do that. But it's I've seen the devotion to his commitment to her, and boy, that's so vital. You know, I know we sometimes it's easy to check out, but in his case, he stayed devoted, and I'm thankful for that devotion. And you know, as we introduce this, devotion's vital. It shows a commitment and a deep love for others. And today, as we get into this, the idea of being devoted to Jesus And staying there and getting there is so important. Our introduction that we've shared, the mission of God is not something we do for Jesus. The mission of God is who Jesus is as he lives through us. We can either define our lives by our limits, or we can leverage our lives to magnify his glory and advance his kingdom. There's the study on leverage. And again, this is week three, and the idea of it is deepened devotion. Deepened devotion. Leveraging our life to be deeply devoted to the Lord Jesus. And you know, the verse that comes to mind is this verse here on the screen, Matthew 22, where it says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Loving God, being committed, being in devotion to him. And you know, we leverage our shallow devotion for deepened devotion, going from shallow to deepened. And you know, so often I think people will, they'll spend their life, "Hey, I'm hoping for that relationship that will complete me. I'm hoping for that career, that family that will complete me." And you know, that's important, but it's not the main thing, because human relationship will disappoint at times. And you know, there's not a person alive that can meet your deepest needs. And you know, without a Savior, without Jesus, you know, we're missing the mark. So as we go through this, and as we seek to see again, and it's a great reminder that our relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship. And how I like to start this is, Jesus loved us first. And this is an important piece of our teaching here at our church, that Jesus loved us first. It didn't really begin with our love for him, but it was for his love for us, his overwhelming love for us. And 1 John helps us with this. It just takes us through this idea of that deep abiding love. And it says this in 1 John 4. The verses don't go together, 14, 16, and 19, but it says, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." And there it is. We love because he first loved us. He went after us. He wanted us. And eternity past, for some reason, he chose to love. And he loves and he cares for us. Jesus loved first. And the thing about that love that's so cool is it's a love that's unconditional, and it's a love that's permanent. And I love that because, you know, he just loves us. There's nothing that merits that love. Nothing we can do, but he loves us. He cares about us. It's a permanent love. I love what Romans tells us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At my worst, at your worst, he died for you. He died for me. And again, we don't deserve that. It's unconditional love. He loves us. Yeah. Another passage, these help us. It says in Romans 8, it says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He loves me. You know, he loves us. Nothing can separate us from that love. And then the second point to this is, Jesus' love is demonstrated on the cross. It's demonstrated on the cross. And what a great reminder and what great evidence for us that his suffering, his death, he willingly took our judgment, what we deserved. And again, we weren't worthy of this, but because he loves us. This powerful act demonstrates that nothing in all creation can separate me from that love. In 1 John again, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So, God's desire, I believe, for all of us is really not our work for him, but it's not the sacrifices we make, it's our heart. He wants our heart. He wants us to be so devoted that we give him our heart. The fact that we're deeply loved, that we're completely loved, that we're eternally loved is so special because he loves us. He loves us. You know, there's a theologian. His name's Karl Barth. He's one of those guys. He's really up here. He's hard to understand, but he was very popular years ago. Very influential in theology, a thinker, a great thinker, a professor. But when he stepped down, and I love this, when he stepped down from being a professor, he was asked, you know, how would you summarize your life's work? And he famously responded this way, "Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." Now, you probably thought I'm going to sing it like Jonathan did last week. Nope, not going to do that. But you know, when you think about that he loves me because the Bible tells me so. So here's a fellow, a lifetime of study, he returned to this basic fundamental truth he learned as a child. Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible tells me so. So again, you're loved. And I think it's so important that we accept that love. And you think, well, you don't know the family I grew up in. Well, we all have dysfunction, I'm sure. But you know what? Jesus loves you anyway. And he loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And again, I think it's so important that we remind ourselves of that he loves us so much. And it's a deep love. There's nothing shallow about that love. So he loved us first. That's the first point. There's a second point to this. Devotion is my response to his love. Devotion is my response to his love. And we can kind of help us with this point if you want to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So again, we love because he first loved us. It makes us devoted to him. And that should be our primary relationship, our relationship to the Lord Jesus. That's part of walking with him. So we leverage shallow devotion when we try to make it about what we can do for Jesus, not what he's already done for us. And there's a church that we learn about in Revelation chapter 2. It's the church of Ephesus, the same church that we read about in the book of Ephesians. And Paul started this church, and Jesus is giving this church a important, strong challenge in this section of Scripture. And I want us to just listen, because it's really a church that become more about duty rather than devotion. And listen to what it says. It says, Revelation 2, it says, "I know your deeds. You work hard and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you've found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary, yet I hold this against you. You left your first love. Now, we'll get to that phrase, left your first love, here in a little bit, but that idea, as we look at this church, you know, they served. The Bible says that they worked hard. About the Lord's business. There's a lot going on. Probably there's a lot of people in the church. They had great children's programs. They probably had great student ministry. You know, the parking lot was full. You know, you didn't have a problem finding a place to park. You guys don't, but the people coming in after you do. But you know, when you think about that, there's a lot of neat things going here. They labored. A church that was about serving. And then I also see here that they were a church that was sacrificial. They gave more than they took. You know, they did a lot. They probably weren't an entitled people. You know, they were very sacrificial. They had concern even for reaching people for Christ. And then the thing I appreciate about this church too is that the Bible says that they were a steadfast church. They endured, they persevered. You work hard and you persevere there, verse 2. The idea they patiently, that they pressed on for the Lord. You know, I started a new book a couple weeks ago. It's called Beloved. Some of us are probably familiar with Francis Chan. This is probably his newest book called Beloved. You're beloved is the idea if you take the word apart. But here's a quote from the book that I thought was interesting. He says, some of you grew up in church environments that were all about discipline. You know, you can probably relate to this. Self-control, denying yourself. And again, these are good things, right? But that's all you know of following Christ. While it's possible for your belief in Christ to endure by sheer discipline, it's not God's desire for you. Like a great marriage, he wants you to receive so much enjoyment from knowing him that you can't bear the thought of it ever ending. And that's the idea I want us to just grasp here as we think of this idea of deep devotion over shallow devotion. You know, that idea that it's not about working hard, even though we should work hard. You know, it's not about sacrificing, even though we are called to sacrifice, but it's about that deep, beloved relationship that God wants us to have with him. Now, he says, I have this against you. Verse 4, you've forsaken the love you had at first. Did you get that? And again, one commentator says it this way. This happens very subtly. You don't wake up one morning and decide, today I'm going to stop loving Jesus. Instead, you get a little busier. Your prayers get shorter. Your Bible reading becomes sporadic and church attendance becomes optional. Conversations about Jesus becomes less frequent. And one day you realize that what was once a passionate love affair with Jesus has become a distant memory. And again, I think the older sometimes we get, it's easy to just kind of go through the motions. And this can even happen in marriage, yes? But that's a good reminder for us to just stay in love, to stay committed, to stay close to the Lord. And Matthew tells us that in the last days, people will wax cold, it says. So people do fall away, but it doesn't have to be that way. God doesn't want that to be the case for us. Is my love for Jesus first love? Love. Do I believe that his love for me is so deep and so wide and strong that I just naturally have to love him back, to rest in him, and to keep being reminded, hey, he really does love us. He does care about us. You know, and these folks in Ephesus, They had a lot of outward stuff going on. And I say, okay, church, are we just doing the outward without the relational with Jesus? Is Jesus our motivation? We can't stop letting him be our motivation. The reason for doing what they were doing was about being good and about doing the right thing rather than about letting the love of Jesus consume them. You know, do you remember like your first love? I know isn't he watching these newer in the faith be baptized this morning? Because, you know, it's just there's a freshness, there's a joy. And, you know, remember when you got saved? What, how that was like, man, this is special. I know as a teenager, I gave my life to Christ. There's a lot of things going on in our family. We had a sickness in our home, but it was at that time that I remember giving my life to Jesus, and I just couldn't wait to talk about him. In fact, I got saved November 1st, 1976. Just I had a birthday just last week, my spiritual birthday. But I remember in September, my parents got me a Bible for my birthday. And it's no lie. You know how some people sleep with teddy bears and stuff? I slept with my Bible after I got saved. I put it on my pillow and just, I don't know, I didn't believe in luck, I don't think, but I just felt like God was close to me that way. But there's just that closeness that you have. And maybe you've had the opportunity to be around newer followers in Christ, and you've heard them pray. You've heard them just petition God, and just there's just they just love talking about Jesus. And God wants that from us. He wants us to have a freshness, a closeness. You know, it doesn't have to get old. You know, in Galatians 5:7, this is just kind of a little pull out here, but it says in Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? So to set this up, Galatia was a church that they were solid when it came to their faith, but they got a little sideways and they thought, well, you need works to go along with your faith. You know, we're saved by faith alone, remember, and works are the result, but they thought you had to mix them. And Paul's saying, well, no, you don't need that. What cut you off? You were running so well. What happened? And it's important. Again, I say that verse to us because we got to be careful that we don't fall away from following closely to the Lord Jesus. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite Bible teachers. I remember I was got familiar with him in college. He wrote a couple books early on called Strengthening Your Grip and Improving Your Serve. And I don't know if they're still in print, but they're good books. But he says, you know, when I'm talking to the Lord, it's like he's right there and he's looking at me and he's got his hand on his chin and he says, yeah, Chuck, I know what you're saying. Yeah, Chuck, I can feel you. You know, and that's, again, the relationship, God, you know, just pulling up close with him, having a cup of coffee. If you want to eat a biscuit, have the biscuit too. But you're just close to him and you're connecting with him and he's like, yeah, I love you, Gare. Yeah, you need to be doing more for the Lord rather than being driven by duty. Do you love me? Yes, he loves me. So love him back. So I say that because, you know, it's important that we realize as we think of this first love relationship that we keep loving him back. And then there's two more points to this. Obedience flows from love. Obedience flows from love. And we've always touched on this a little bit, but in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So that's just the natural progression. His commands are not difficult when they come from an overflowing heart. So as we fall more and more in love with Jesus, he becomes our delight. He becomes the one we care about, and we want to pull up on his lap closely and just get close to him. There's a devotion. There's not a duty. And then thirdly, deep devotion means full surrender. Deep devotion It means fully being surrendered. A genuine follower of Christ, Jesus has every part of it. Complete surrender. It leads to joy. It leads to peace. It leads to contentment. It leads to hope. It leads to being driven by Him rather than a list of rules in following Him. Point three, and this is one of our core values, but here it is. When it comes to deepened devotion, Scripture and prayer are prime. Scripture and prayer are prime. And of course, as you think about it, that's how you stay devoted. That's how you stay in love with Jesus, because of the Scriptures we have and because of the prayer opportunity we have. And these, again, they're our answer. You know, if you've gotten to see the video yet that goes along with this book, Devotion, and your Connect group, you know, the guy talks about two wings. And when he gets on an airplane, he makes sure he looks at both wings. Because if you have two wings, you're most likely gonna fly, you will fly better, yes? But when you think about that, those two wings, and it's the comparison he makes, are Bible and prayer. That's how we stay connected to Him. That's how we stay devoted to Him. That's how we soar for Jesus, yes? So Scripture and prayer, this core value that we hold closely to as a church. In fact, that's what we're about. Every time you hear a message here, you'll hear the Scriptures. And that's important that we do that. There's time of prayer. But these are things we need to do also, not only corporately, but also as individuals. And there's just a couple parts to this core value that this is all on our website. You can read about all our core values, but this is on our website. And I have it come up for you. These two paragraphs, so let me read them to you. God gives us His Word to bring about the good news of Jesus, and that good news is not that our sin made us bad people and somehow we might make ourselves better. The gospel cries out that our sin has made us dead and that Jesus is our only hope of ever being made alive. Stay with me. To miss this truth is to miss the purpose of life and the purpose of Christ. Therefore, all we do and say is anchored in the message of the gospel. So when we gather, our ultimate purpose is not to endorse the ideas, philosophies, or opinions of men, but to exchange them for the transforming truth of God's word. There it is. And then when we pray, we are agreeing with the Holy Spirit of our desperate need for His presence. And we're asking for His transforming power to consume and move us personally and corporately. Ultimately, we believe the purpose of prayer is to align ourselves with His will, His ways, and His word. Scripture and prayer, they're prime. Scripture and prayer, they keep us from being shallow and they make us devoted. We need that. We need Scripture and prayer. You know, one of the quotes in this book that I pulled out was by Henry Blackaby, and he says, "We have become so activity-oriented that we assume we were saved for a task to perform rather than for a relationship to enjoy." And again, what a great opportunity we have to be in close community with the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a cross-reference to this that I want us to look at. If you want to turn to John 15, you can. But it's a very popular passage that Jesus gives us on this idea of abiding. And the importance of abiding with the Lord Jesus. Remaining in Him. Look what Jesus says here. "I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And then it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." That's the key for us. I'm the vine, you're the branches. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We need to abide, yes? Deepen our devotion to Jesus happens when we abide, when we get close to Him. And you can only do that when you spend time with Him. Now, I pulled a definition out of this book. Can you tell? I want you to have this book. Okay. They're free, by the way. If you don't have one of these books, you can pick one up back there at the Connect desk. But on page 64, it says, nothing of eternal value or kingdom significance can be accomplished relying on our own resources. When we believe that, we will abide in Him. And then it says, we will rely on Him moment by moment for strength, for wisdom, for patience, for resources, for everything we need. And again, that's how we get this closeness, this deep devotion with Him. We trust Him for strength, for patience, for wisdom, for all the resources we need. That's how we get that deep relationship. So, shallow devotion. Visit that just for a few minutes with me. That's duty first. It's works based. It's toilsome. It's really never enough. And when there's that shallowness, I know, and I can speak to this because I do this. I become irritable. I start making comparisons. And I look for acceptance in the wrong places. So, no place for shallowness. In fact, shallowness is kind of like you just check it off the box. Oh, let me read my daily bread real quick. Oh, let me read the passage. Check the box, then you go off. You do your thing. Now, again, I'm thankful for daily bread and those opportunities God gives us. But it needs to be more than just that one-time encounter. It has to be an ongoing devotion throughout the day. So it's not just checking the box. But then that deepened relationship, that first love, that's the relationship that's centered with Jesus. And what's great about that is it brings rest. It brings strength. It brings guidance. It brings joy. It brings peace. And again, Jesus loves us. Continuing to believe that He loves us is that first love, deepened devotion that is about being directed to Him and not ourselves. Now, in Revelation 2, let me just wrap it up with this last verse there. Actually, two verses. It says, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. And then it says, consider how far you've fallen. And then he talks to the church, and I believe it's us here today as well. Repent and do the things that you did at first. So, as we look at this, I'd like to challenge us by going into this last point. Devotion to Jesus is dependent on abiding in Him. It's dependent at abiding in Him. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So, We abide in His love, and it takes us back to this Revelation passage, and what I see, first of all, we need to remember. Remember who saved you. Remember what you're saved from. And be careful that we never forget who it is that saved us. And our opportunity is to be devoted to Him. And we stay on track when we remember. And then, not only should we remember, but we need to repent. We need to repent. And I know that's a strong word, but the whole idea of it is making a change of heart, a turning from shallow devotion and turning to a deepened devotion. Repentance. from things that keep us shallow. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Holding a grudge. Lacking just a genuine care for people who you don't think deserve it. Repent. The Bible says, repent then, Acts 3:19, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. This church needed to return to their first love. And God's calling each of us to turn from those attitudes, those things that are keeping us from being deeply devoted. And then there's one more R. There's a repeat. There's a repeat. And this comes from that little phrase, do the things you did at first. Recapture the relationship with Bible study and prayer. Recapture. That's meditation on the Lord Jesus. Last page. These people, they needed a richness, a recapturing with the Lord. Now that you know these things, Jesus says in John 13, you will be blessed if you do them. And you know, when Jesus is your first love, that most important relationship, he doesn't destroy other relationships. He makes them better. And that's what's cool about relationships with people in a church and in a marriage, in a family. You know, they get better as you keep loving, as you keep being devoted. And it's so important that we don't forget what Jesus. I'll never forget. I got saved. I told you earlier at the age of 16, November 1st. And I went forward in a church. The pastor was speaking on the importance of a relationship. And, of course, he helped me understand that relationship by talking about hell and what that was all about. And I didn't want to go there. And, of course, no one does. So I gave my life to Christ. And he took me in his office. He took me through Romans Roads. That's passages that talk about our need of a Savior. And then the coolest thing, and I don't tell him a lot of people this, he left his office, and then it was like someone was just right there with me. I mean, it was like, man, this is, and I didn't hear a voice or anything, but it was like, you know, I got you. And it was a close, and you know, that was the Holy Spirit that came into my life and gave me that peace in that hope. And I tell you that because that we need that freshness. We need that deepened devotion as we stay close and follow him. So here's our application. Devotion in Jesus transforms all our other relationships by grounding them in unconditional and self-sacrificial love. So, will you choose shallow devotion, which is duty first, or will you choose deep devotion, which makes Jesus your first love and number one relationship? So the simple truth, Jesus loves me, is the cornerstone of my faith. He loves me, and everything else flows from that love. So I'd like to conclude to where we started. Matthew 22, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for that simple reminder that Jesus loves me. And we know that because the Bible tells us so. So help us live loved today. Help us realize, Lord, that there's things that get in the way of a deep devotion with you. And Lord, help us trade in that shallowness of things that really don't impact or even have anything to do with eternity. And realize, Lord, that a deep devotion with you comes with basking in your presence, pulling in close to you, and letting you guide us as we do life. Help us use your word to encourage us, to help us. Help us take opportunities to prayer, to equip us, and give us hope and strength and peace. Help us be deeply devoted to you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So will you stand with me? These guys are about to lead us here, but I'd like to just give us an opportunity. Give us an opportunity as a church to maybe gather around this altar and use it as a place to get you maybe back on track if you've gotten sideways for a while and realize that you're not where you used to be with the Lord. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. We have prayer partners here at the front to pray with you and help us all on this journey as we all seek to draw in close to the Lord Jesus.